You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawso, and we're coming to the second part of our show, Lawson, where we are going to discover more about what the Bible has to say about wolves, savage wolves infiltrating the church and causing damage to the flock of God. But before that, we have another question that we would like to ask you, listener, to hone your Bible trivia skills. And what is this question at number four, Lawson?
Hey, it's simply this. Who exactly was counted in the feeding of the 5,000? So there's a feeding of the 5,000 which takes place. And this number is estimated by the amount of a certain kind of people who are in attendance at this feeding of the 5,000. If you know what certain kind of people these were, hey, 0491-064-669, that is the number to text. And if you text that number with the correct answer, you go into the draw for two amazing books by Suki Gunatilleke, Sister in Arms, and As Bright as the Stars. As Bright as the Stars is a brand new book brought out by Suki. Now, again, Suki working for Lineage. These are the premier.
Google that, Lineage Journey, and you will not be disappointed with the quality. They have like this short videos about church history. They are absolutely amazing. They recorded on the site in Europe and other places. It's definitely worth going there.
Absolutely. And I think for myself, you know, the work that I'm doing now, my studies in the theological space, and I guess my future work in the ministerial space as well, has very much been informed by a lot of these testimonies. I remember I was very inspired when I was about 18 years old to go and to work for the church and just to do volunteer work, you know, Bible working and whatnot. But it was when I read the book, The Great Controversy, and particularly the opening, say, 20 chapters of that book. It's quite, well, I think it's, you know, 40, 50 chapters, something like that. But the opening 20 chapters of that book goes through church history from about the time of the apostles to our time today. And it's talking about these amazing stories of Wycliffe and Jerome and Huss and Martin Luther and the way that these reformers gave their life for the truth, and not just, I'm not just talking about dying, but also living for the truth, and how they gave so much. It was so risky for them, everything that they did. And I remember reading these stories as a young man and just being so, and I kind of still am a young man, but being so inspired. Like, if the word is this valuable to these people, like, how could I not live a life sharing it? And that's become my life.
I remember the first time that I read that book, Lawson. I used to have a burger shop right across my home in Brazil. Yeah? And I would come from work. That time I was working with investment banking. I would come home. It was like, I don't know, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. And I would go to that burger shop that was open until late. I would order a milkshake, a burger.
Classic.
And I'll be reading through The Great Controversy and be absolutely transported.
Yeah.
And I remember just that being impressed of, wow, what have men and women endured to preserve the word of God, to be faithful to the word of God throughout history. It is indeed very, very inspiring. You know, this is a great book. And we can give this book away as well to our listeners.
Stay tuned for that. But our prizes for this week, of course, again, getting into more of these stories of the amazing disciples who were living throughout the Reformation era, who were standing for the truth of God's word, As Bright as the Stars and Sister in Arms by Suki Gunatilleke. Again, that question was, who exactly was counted in the feeding of the 5,000? 0491-064-669 if you know the answer to that one.
Lawson, we are continuing our Bible discovery here. We are following a guide that we call here the 20 Million Movement. You can get access to it for absolutely free. You can go online, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, wherever you connect with the interwebs, and you can just type sabbath.school in your browser, and it's going to get you there. Or you can download Sabbath School app in the app. It's absolutely for free. I don't think they even require any information from you. It's just a guide that you open and you listen, and you can listen, you can watch, or you can read these great commentary that will help you understand the scriptures better. These are crafted by, this one that we're talking about, it's crafted by Mark Finley, who is a theologian in the United States. Fantastic material. And we're looking at the great controversy, the great battle, to use a more current term, between good and evil, between God and Satan, between Jesus and the enemy of the souls. And how does this war repercute here on earth?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's said that the battle, you know, why we see good and evil, why we see suffering and sin and get, you know, some hope, is a result of, you know, the battle between good and evil, Satan and God.
Exactly.
But this world is the battlefield.
It's the battlefield. It's like the symptoms or the outworking of a more spiritual reality that the Bible is unfolding before our eyes. And we're talking about how Satan uses his techniques, his methods to deception. One of them is persecution. The other one is deception slash compromise. But when I talk about compromise, Lawson, in a spiritual setting, what comes to your mind? What do you think of compromising means?
Well, I think it's just the case that God has standards. And if anyone ever tries to tell you that God does not have standards, that is not the case. Like, God has...
Everyone has standards. Why wouldn't God have standards, right?
Exactly. And again, we need to contextualize this and talk about God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, of course. But God created and ordered our world in a certain way, in a certain way to function. Now, within that functionality, there is room and there is space for choice. Like, God has created us to be
freedom and
free will moral beings. Like, God...
creativity.
God gives us actually so much freedom. In fact, God gives us the freedom to, and originally gave us the freedom to live forever. Like, God gave us so much beautiful freedom with a few restrictions or standards to enable that freedom to go forward.
And to use that analogy, I know that we're sidetracking a little bit, but to use that analogy of freedom that you brought so well, Lawson, you know, remember that in the beginning of the show, for the listeners who are just tuning in, we spoke about how, you know, you can play the guitar in, you know, backwards or different ways, and you can make sounds, but this is not really, it's an expression of freedom, but it's not the ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom is when you're playing the guitar as it is designed and intended to be played, then you actually find the freedom to produce the all kinds of songs and beautiful melodies.
And the most joy.
So we're talking about how God designed the world with certain limitations, with certain boundaries, with a certain design, but when we embrace and we work through that design, this is when we can get the most out of the human experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what we're searching for, and this is what Satan has come to deceive.
So what is compromise then, Lawson?
From, and that it's the compromising or the breaking of those standards for maybe a different set of ideals or standards that essentially you've said, hey, look, I know that this is here, but I would experience more pleasure or more joy or an easier life or whatever it may be by not living up to those standards, not holding those principles that God has given us.
I love how you define, Lawson. And what you're saying here is that compromising is like, to put it in more practical terms, is like having your faith behaving more like a eat as much as you want buffet.
Yeah.
Where you can pick and choose what you want. So you exercise the aspects and the elements of faith that you want, that you like. Mm. And the ones that you know they're there, but you don't necessarily like, say, you know what? I'm going to compromise on this one. I'm going to do what is, you know, easier or what goes better into the eyes of others. And you're compromising. Instead of doing what is the right thing, you're doing the easy thing. I think that's the key there.
Yeah, and we're talking in the space specifically of people who claim to have a belief, who claim to uphold a certain standard, but then at times, as you said, compromise. There's a saying that I heard or a phrase that I heard recently that very much encapsulates this. It's the idea of strong beliefs loosely held. Strong beliefs loosely held. Because to believe in God, to believe in standards, to believe in judgment, and to acknowledge that those things exist, like, that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong to say, like, and that's world defining. That is life defining. You know, that
these are all encompassing statements.
That's right. Yeah. But if we're willing to, as you said, compromise on those things, it represents our loose holding of those beliefs that, hey, although I believe in this world changing, earth shattering belief of, you know, God and his existence and the things that he's done, I'm also, you know, not going to prioritize those things in my life. And as a result, yeah, compromise and find myself in situations that God would not have me in. And this has been, as we've been talking about, particularly yesterday, the strategy that Satan has used to lead people astray in more recent times is to get them to compromise the standards and the principles that God has given us.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
But Lawson, let's jump into the Bible verse that we have for today.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we have two Bible verses, main Bible verses to cover here. The first one, it's Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 32. Do you have that with you?
I got it right here. The Bible says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God."
Okay, just a pause here. So this is the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
He is writing, he's talking to the churches here, and he says that he did not shrink from telling the whole truth.
Yeah.
He didn't hold anything back. He's not hiding anything from anyone. He's just saying God's word as it has been delivered to him, both the popular bits and the unpopular bit, but he has been faithful. And I think that an application here is, you know, are we faithful? Are our church leaders faithful in announcing the whole purpose and the whole counsel of God? Or sometimes we shrink from declaring some of the more unpopular passages?
And you know what was powerful about this is Paul has essentially, he knows he's been called to go to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he knows he'll be captured. And with that capture, this will be his passage to Rome, which will be his
not in a great way.
Basically, his final destination
before his destination.
And he's seeing this. He's understanding this. He's realizing that, like, he's about to go to Jerusalem. And he's like, if I show up in Jerusalem, like, I'm a fugitive. Like, I'm wanted. Like, if I show up in Jerusalem, like, I'm going to be captured. And he's talking with conviction to the elders in Ephesus here. Like, this is the last time he's going to just hang out casually with his friends before he takes off and gets captured. And he's like, hey, look, like, I have done all that I can to declare the truth. And if I wasn't going to live up to that conviction, I wouldn't have the power here to be able to risk my life for this, to go back to Jerusalem.
And then he said something about savage wolves infiltrating the church.
He continues on, yeah.
What does he say next verse?
He says, look, I've declared all the truth in God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Wow. Okay, so Paul is saying here, hey, know this, after my departure, savage or ravenous wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. He says that within the very womb of the churches will arise men and women who will spread heresies, who will spread lies, who will spread false teachings, who would encourage people to compromise.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's
and even
here.
Among them, among the elders,
yeah,
among the leaders.
Yeah, it says people will rise up among you. And that particular line as well, not sparing the flock. You know, these savage wolves aren't coming for, this isn't someone just coming to debate the elders or the pastors or the leaders of the church as to truth. This is someone who is wanting to work to dissuade the flock from the truth, you know, who are wanting to get the members of these churches.
Someone that with an agenda,
yeah,
as well, to gather disciples for themselves, to somehow exalt themselves in their teachings, and people would fall for them. And I think that one of the question is, Lawson, how do we identify these wolves? Or is it even helpful? Aren't we judging if you say, hey, you're a wolf? You know, couldn't just be a well-intended, perhaps, person that, has their own different views on the word of God? what do we do with that? You know, how do, what practicality can we as regular people relate to?
You know, the Bible tells us to judge. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible actually tells us, like, there is counsel from the Bible. It says, hey, you should judge things.
Yes. Qualify that. This
is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the Bible says here, it's like, this is 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? And so it's saying here, hey, if you have issues in the church, and we're not talking about civil issues, we're talking about issues in the church, you know, interpersonal issues, theological issues. Don't sue each other over those things. First, go to one another and discuss these things. And continues on and says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge even the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall even judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things to pertaining this life, do you appoint those who are at least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to you, to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? And so this is advice or counsel being given to the church by Paul.
To judge, to exercise judgment.
That's right.
Not judging, I believe, in this sense of, hey, let's judge someone else's motives or intentions or their heart, or judge if you're going to make it to heaven or not. This is not.
Because we can't say those things. Can't. Like,
however,
I'm not
it says,
God,
look,
neither are you.
Judge between what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And talk to people that are in, you know, if you think that they're committing a mistake or in error, go in and talk.
And judge.
And judge.
That judgment is, again, from the point of review. It's not that you in and of yourself have the best judgment because you are the fountain of life, but because God and his word is. And this is the standard of judgment. And it's interesting here how it brings up, it's like, don't you know that you'll judge the world? Don't you know that you'll judge angels? This is actually language talking about the judgment of the millennium. And that judgment isn't, you know, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the judge.
It's a reviewing judgment.
It's a reviewing of God's judgment. Yeah. God isn't asking us, hey, you are the one by which every decision is bound in the church or on this world or of angels or of men. But it's saying, hey, you have the capacity to be able to see my righteous judgment and to be able to comment on that, to be able to engage in that and to do so in the church. So using the Bible as a standard. It's saying here, you have the ability to judge. And now, reflecting on this ravenous wolf situation, people who have come into the church, people who are trying to lead people astray, the Bible
how do you identify ravenous wolves?
Yeah, I think
a ravenous wolf, well, awesome. What would you do?
I think the primary way is through the counsel of God's word, right? To see whether this person who is trying to obtain influence, who is trying to teach. And this is just a good practice, not in a skeptical sense, not in a like, oh, you know, this person is a ravenous wolf, but rather like just to review and to see in our churches, like, okay, does this person live up to the counsel of God's word? You know, do they live up to the standards that God gives for people who are to have influence in the church? Because there are standards there. The Bible says, you know, speaking particularly of elders and pastors, the Bible says to be a man of to be a man of one wife, to be a man who is not given over to alcohol, to be a man who is, you know, the Bible gives standards regarding those who are to have influence in our churches.
Yes, about behavior and ethics. Like, look, that's a great way of seeing that. So there's these standards of living, The other way that I would suggest is this. Look, we cannot judge a person from the get-go. Yo, you're a ravenous wolf.
Yeah.
Because I disagree with you. This is not how it works. But I think that we should also be aware that there is such a thing as a ravenous wolf. Now, we can argue, is this figure of the ravenous wolf doing so, you know, willingly or knowingly or intentionally, or is this incidentally? In other words, they are behaving like one or acting like one, but they are acting in the best intentions possible. Because this is something that is pretty common now, is that whatever happens, people say, okay, look, my intentions were not this. And I find that it's very, very, very hard when people say, yeah, my intention is to divide the church. Yes, my intention is to cause harm. Have you ever even seen someone say that? It's very hard. It's very hard
to
find someone that will have that level of, you know.
Yeah, very few people have that level of self-awareness.
Self-awareness, sincerity. Yeah. Say, hey, you know what? I actually have come in places tomorrow. And I am embarrassed of that. But in one way, I think that God helped me through that. And
yeah.
I have said, for example, hurtful things to my wife in the past.
Yeah.
And I said, honey, you know, I have to say something. I'm sorry for what I've done. And my intentions were to hurt you. And I am ashamed of myself. Mm. And I just want to apologize for that.
Yeah.
But normally you don't find that. Normally people are maybe even sincerely with great intentions. So how do you judge? Well, you judge to this, to the adherence to the God's word. And how do you deal with it? You come, you talk about it, say, hey, it's, you say A, but the Bible appears to be saying B. Let's talk about it. So now came the time for our fifth and last quiz of the day. Lawson, what is the question?
Hey, this is the signal of the signal, I should say, of Jesus' betrayal was A, and then this is one answer, but we've got multiple choice here. The signal of Jesus' betrayal was it a handshake, a pointed finger, a slap in the face, or was it a kiss? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. Was it A, a handshake, B, a pointed finger, C, a slap in the face, or D, a kiss? 0491-064-669. I'll give you a little clue. The answer is like the most deceptive. It's like if we think of betrayal, it's like the most deceptive one regarding that. Again, A, a handshake, B, pointed finger, C, slap in the face, or D, a kiss. Again, 0491-064-669 are amazing prizes for this week. We've got Sisters in Arms, As Bright as the Stars. We want to give these to you absolutely for free. That will be a massive blessing for you. Stories of Faith from the Reformation. Again, 0491-064-669. We also got Margie writing in. She says, morning, guys. I've only just joined the show in the last half hour. You are talking about Paul warning about judgment. Which book and passage are you reading from? We were in 1 Corinthians 6, but also
1 Corinthians 6.
Acts 20, 27 to 32.
Exactly. Mm. Thank you. Thank you, Margie, for your question. And thank you, Lawson, as well. So we're talking about savage wolves, talking about infiltrating. We're talking about how do you define. And we were saying, hey, we don't jump into conclusions. We don't conclude that people are savage wolves. But we are aware that they exist. Number two, when people appear to go to be teachings that are estranged from the Bible.
Mm.
Number one, we need to learn to know our Bible and to listen to it. Otherwise, we won't be thoroughly equipped to make these judgments. But when we do, we talk to the person. Hey, but what about this? What about that? And I think that in the reaction of the person, Lawson, we start to see if the reaction is, hey, one of humility, one of understanding, one of, hey, sharing clearly why they believe so, or if you can tell that they are dodging away or they are doubling down or having a different kind of attitude that you wouldn't expect from a sincere person.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting when you have conversations. And I've talked to many people from many different backgrounds about theology, about things of God, about truth, whatever it may be. I think of talking with my family about politics or whatever it might be. Now we're talking about like the church context. And it's interesting to see the interactions where you have with people is you bring up a particular topic and the reaction of, you know, questioning that topic is either like, you know, just, oh, hey, you know, okay, you have questions about this. Let's talk about it calmly. Or if it's, you know, maybe a feeling like an attack of identity. And as a result, then, you know, some really heavy back and forth where maybe, you know, things of personal attitude or something comes up where it moves away less from the actual merit of the idea that someone's sharing and more towards the feelings and sentiments around it. And I feel like in regards to ravenous wolves infiltrating the church and humility regarding, you know, ideas and beliefs people have, like, yeah, it is a very good litmus test. And because, you know, I have conversations with people where I'm turned off their ideas that, you know, that they hold because of the way that they share it. Because, or maybe the emotional attachment or this regarding, you know, that thing. And it's like, it actually turns, cause I'm like, where's the merit in this of, as an idea, as a, as something that can be shared calmly and can stand on its own logic and whatnot.
Yes.
And so we see this idea of people in the church, you know, coming to blows over particular issues. And how can we deal with it? It's, again, if we can submit ourselves and be humble and come to real conclusions, I feel like we can solve a lot of the issues of ravenous wolves.
Absolutely. And Lawson, you know, one of the things that the 20 million movement guide says here is that, you know, as giving some examples of that, is, for example, contrary to the second commandment, idols were introduced into Christian worship.
Yeah, wow.
So that's one way where ideas that were very, very clearly against the Bible, like the second commandment, thou shalt not serve or bow down to any worship.
Mm. Or even make them.
Or serve them. Well, this had become widespread. Mm. Why? Well, because worship of idols were in the forefront of all pagan religions and to many religions to this day, and say, you know what? Let's do this as well, so we can, you know, be more friendly, that we can appear more palatable to, you know, all of these other religions that we wanting to try to come to us. Another one was the day of worship. Sunday, which was the day of worship of the sun god, was gradually adopted as the day of Christian worship in honor of the resurrection. But this false day is not sanctioned in scripture, and it prevails until now. This is from our 20 million movement here.
Mm.
So there were, in various ways, ideas that came contrary to the clear thus says the Lord, that with perhaps the best of intentions entered into the church.
Mm.
And we were told that these kinds of things would happen.
Mm.
And the only way that we know that they are contrary to the scriptures is because we can read it, what the scriptures have to say.
Yeah.
And remember, one of the deceptions that Satan tried to do is to prevent people from accessing the very scriptures that would clear things up. Mm. What do you think, listener? Are there any other teachings or items of compromise that you feel have been infiltrated the church, either through doctrine or through practice? We spoke about a few of them here as well. We spoke about how in the 12th century, you know, celibacy was introduced into the church for priests, something that the Bible never, ever commanded. On the contrary, said that the priest should, if possible, even better, be married, have children, and be an example, and know how to run their household well so that they can counsel other church members and the community on these matters. So we saw a lot of things infiltrating into the church, and Paul says this is going to happen. There's another passage here, Lawson. We can just touch on it briefly because we're coming to the end. But it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 12.
Yeah, the Bible says this: for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders.
Just a pause here. And Lawson, thank you. It says, keep going, just the next verse as well.
And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved.
So it's saying here that these false teachings were already at work in Paul's time.
Yep.
And they would continue to work until the second coming of Jesus, until the end of times. And it says here that it would be accompanied with all power and signs and false wonders. And the point here is, Lawson, it appears to be a popular belief that if there is some kind of a miracle, it automatically and immediately means that whoever is performing those miracles is from God or is teaching things from God. Mm-hmm. This is not a direct correlation. The Bible says that this is actually going to be one of the instruments of deception. Now, I'm not saying that there cannot be true and genuine miracles, that cannot be true and genuine signs and wonders. But the Bible says that even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians. And here we see in Thessalonians that God says, hey, do not be deceived. The standard of the faith is in God's word, is in the scriptures, is in the Bible. You judge everything by that and not the other way around.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We've come now to the time where there is no questions to ask, just answers to give. Hey, our first one here. Actually, before I get into that, I just wanted to read from Margie. She says, what verses were you referring to in Acts? That was Acts 20, 27 to 32. But then also she says, the worst I've come across is the twisting of God's word. Some people just won't study the Lord's wording in the Bible thoroughly.
Yes. And when we are studying about any doctrine in the Bible, it's not enough to find a few passages, Lawson, that appear to be saying something. You also need to make sure that you're not finding any other passage that is contradicting that.
Yeah.
And when you look at all of the passages that deal about a certain subject, like a puzzle, and then you build something that you can find harmoniously, then you can say, hey, I think that I have a good picture of that. What happens a lot of the time is that people will anchor themselves in one text or one particular aspect or one possible interpretation of that to the expense of other passages that appear to balance it out. And I think that that's where a lot of problems arise when it comes to church doctrine and teaching. So yeah, Margie, I agree. That's absolutely something that happens in churches.
I like Margie's encouragement here is to take it upon yourself to be a student of God's word. It doesn't matter if you're I love saying this, a pastor or a plumber or an IT technician or a mum or a dad or whatever you may be. Like, God has given us the ability to reason, to understand his word, and it doesn't matter who you are. He is wanting you to do that.
And one of the ways to do this, Lawson, is to join us at 8 a.m. every day and throughout the day in Faith FM, and you will find a lot of programmation that is designed to uplift, to study, to understand the Word of God, to break it down. And if you have any questions, just send us your questions or any comments as well. We love to read from you. So what are the answers to the questions, Lawson?
Let's get into some answers. In what city were the disciples first called Christians? The answer to that one was Antioch.
Antioch.
They were people of the way. They were Christians. They were at that time viewed as a different sect of Judaism. Yes. But then they expand.
The Christioi in Greek. And this, you know, one of the literal translations of Christioi is like little Christs.
Yeah.
These are the little Christs going on there.
What city was Paul from? He was from the city of Tarsus.
Tarsus is a beautiful city. Google that. Go to YouTube. You're going to find they have an amazing geographical structure there. It was a very important city from a military strategic perspective.
Yeah. Of course, because of the military and strategic perspective and the wars that had happened there, the reason that Paul has Roman citizenship is that the city of Tarsus was gifted. Everyone in Tarsus was gifted Roman citizenship because of the military actions that happened there.
All right.
So it continues on. Hey, what did the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost sound like? It sounded like a rushing wind.
A rushing wind, like
whoo. Yeah, it was hectic. Yeah,
and curious thing here, the Holy Spirit, the Hagia Pneuma the Ruach, the Kodesh Ruach in Hebrew. The word for spirit is also a word for wind or for breath. So they're interchangeable words. So I think it's only fitting that the Holy Spirit or the holy breath of God or the holy wind will come up and manifest itself as a rushing wind.
Yeah. It's actually where we get words like pneumatic and whatnot.
Pneumatic,
To do with wind. Hey, who exactly was counted in the feeding of the 5,000? It was the men. So it was 5,000 men and then plus women and children. So it was quite a sizable crowd that Jesus administered an amazing miracle to.
Yes.
Finally here, this signal of Jesus' betrayal, what was it? Was it a handshake, a pointed finger, a slap in the face, or a kiss? It was the most deceptive one. It was a kiss. It was the one that, that's tough. That's tough. And of course, the name that it was given, the colloquial name, the kiss of death, the kiss of betrayal. Yes. And, something, as beautiful as, as in this sense, it was Judas to Jesus. Yes.
Jesus says friend. He calls him friend. With
intimate
a kiss,
friendship.
You betray me.
And it was, with that kiss, that Jesus would die. So, hey, congratulations if you put in correct answers. Thank you so much for playing the quiz. And if you struggled, if you didn't put any answers in, hey, you've got the next couple of days before Friday where we spin the wheel and have that draw. We're going to continue on.
Yes.
Right now, we've got Tad Worku with Love Is All. Hey, guys, continue listening. We have our next segment and then we'll finish off the show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
we are coming to the end of our show, but we're not going to do this by leaving you, our listener, empty-handed. Lawson has, out of the generosity of his heart, provided and organized an incredible gift that you can win should you follow his instructions exactly and without fail. What are these instructions and what are this gift, Lawson?
From the kindness of my heart and from the wallet of Faith FM, we are going to give you something absolutely for free. And that is, when we were talking about this earlier in the show, we were talking about the book, The Great Controversy. I want to give this to you guys because this book is life-changing. If we're talking about what it is, the way that God has worked post, and we're talking about like post the early Christian church, post the book of Acts, how it is that God has worked and how he is working today, and even furthermore, insight for the future. This book will be an incredible blessing to you. Yes. So,
also, I'll have to say this really quickly, but I started to understand and appreciate the book of Revelation and see the love of God through it better after I read that very book. It really changed my life as well. So I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. Which I love that too, because the Bible says that, you know, although so many people avoid Revelation because it's scary, the Bible says that Revelation is the book that we will be blessed by reading, and The Great Controversy is amazing supplementary reading. So if you want to text us the word great, if you're the first texter through at 0491-064-669, we'll get you a copy of that absolutely for free. Text through the word great to 0491-064-669. Be the first texter through.
And remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow strong in the love of God. Ciao. Besos.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide of with the sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.